You want to come up now?
Okay.
Kirk's going to share on the gift of exhortation.
I want to pass out these papers.
What a great group of testimonies, man, I tell you.
It's awesome to hear those stories. Linda, man, that is a beautiful story. Huh? Well, it is the Lord, but I mean, that's one day, you know, you're going to go see the Lord and that guy's going to be there. And it's like, he's going to say, hey, I'm here because of you. Huh? You think about it, was like his last time, his last day. Doesn't get any better than that. Well, I was only going to share a portion of this, but I think I'll share this whole thing tonight. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but in regard to the use of the gifts of the Spirit, when we have them at church here, you know, part of why I believe the gifts of the Spirit are so important has a lot to do with what was said here tonight. And that is, it is a one way that God speaks to people. You know, when we come to the church, my philosophy is this way. Worship is so important because Jesus can touch the hearts of people more than anything I could ever preach or anybody who's preaching that day. I mean, we may say something that could touch this person or that person, and I'm not diminishing the importance of the preaching of the Word of God, but just think that in the times of worship, people are able to touch the heart of Jesus, and He can do so much more in every person's life. So worship is so important to me. The preaching of the Word is important because it's the Word of God that sets people free. It gives them light. I mean, it's such a powerful, powerful instrument, you know, when it's being preached and taught. And the other element that's part of a worship service to me is the gifts of the Spirit. And I love specifically, which I don't have here, 1 Corinthians 14, where it says an unbeliever or an unlearned person can come in, and if they hear a prophecy or hear you prophesy, they'll fall down and say, God is really here. Somehow those gifts of the Spirit, when they're truly being used by the Lord, they're touching people's lives. And so I really am glad that people are desiring to be used in spiritual gifts. And I'm sharing this tonight really with mostly an exhortation to let's continue to pursue them, but really continue to pursue them with excellence. So in Romans 12, the first scripture I have there, you can see that there's several different gifts mentioned, but three of them are these gifts of prophecy, which I have highlighted there, teaching and exhortation. Three different, if you want to call them, verbal gifts. There's other ones mentioned there. And this is a little bit different list of gifts than the ones mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. But prophecy is in both of them. But can you see that? Prophecy, teaching, and exhortation. So the question you might have is, what's the difference? How do you know if what a person is saying, is that a prophecy? Is that a teaching? Is that an exhortation? Or is it some combination of all the above? And so sometimes when people come up front, we try to encourage people to tell us what it is you have from the Lord. I mean, is this a prophecy? Is this an exhortation? Is this, you know, a testimony? What is it exactly that you're sharing here today? And it's sometimes difficult to know, because you'll see in a moment here how kind of interconnected these things are. So in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul tells Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. So you can see from that scripture that by a person standing and just reading the Bible, part of what can be imparted is exhortation. And part of what can be imparted is just teaching. And those are two of the gifts mentioned in Romans 12. Can you see that? So by just standing and speaking the Word of God, two of these gifts of Romans 12 can be part of that. I think there are times when probably anybody gets up and teaches from the Word of God that there is instruction. And there are times that preaching of the Word will include exhortation. It's kind of urging people on. And sometimes, I believe, even in the preaching of the Word, you might even touch on the prophetic at times. You know, you're really, you know, like the Lord's really given you something from Him, unique for this congregation for that moment. So in the one element of just teaching the Word of God, you're finding a touch of exhortation, a touch of instruction, and maybe even a touch of the prophetic, because they're interconnected. 1 Corinthians 14, it says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement. That Greek word, encouragement, there is the same word that's used in Romans 12 for exhortation. So what he's saying here is when a person prophesies, he's also exhorting people. So prophecy and exhortation are very, very tightly knit together. As a matter of fact, one of the ways that we can judge a prophecy is if you get up and prophesy and you're there rebuking people, we kind of frown on that. Because it's not, the Bible says prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, I'm not saying that there would never, ever be a rebuke or a reproof in prophecy, but sometimes there are people that get this attitude. They feel like they're called to be a prophet, and all they feel like they do is go around and straighten the body of Christ out. But prophecy is encouragement. It's one of the things that comes about. And so when those words are coming forth and you're hearing them, one thing that should happen is I'm being encouraged. God is doing something to lift me up or to motivate me or move me on to some course in my life. Another one is in 1 Corinthians 14:31. You can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be taught or instructed and encouraged. And so here we see all three of those gifts mentioned, don't you? You see prophecy, and along with the prophecy, there's instruction and there's encouragement. So sometimes a person's going to get up there and they're going to say, I have a prophecy, and they're going to stand and they're going to speak. And you may find, wow, I was just taught something. Something was instructed to me in that word from the Lord. Or again, you might be encouraged. But you see how these things, they're hard to define because they're just kind of interconnected. They kind of play off of each other in some way. I'll just skip the next scripture. So this next paragraph down there, this interconnectedness of these three gifts makes weighing or judging prophecy a little more complex. Because I might sit there, like I might ask this question, what exactly is taking place? Is this person exhorting and we have received some instruction? Is this person teaching and we've been exhorted in some way? Or is that a prophecy and I've been both instructed and exhorted? And so, you know, when you're trying to judge the prophecy, those are things you're always trying to discern. What exactly is going on here? So I have a little illustration right there showing those three balls, basically saying that they are three distinct gifts, as in Romans 12 describes. But yet, from the scriptures we just shared above, they're often somewhat interconnected. And times when you'll teach that will have exhortation or prophetic tones to it. And times you'll prophesy and people will be instructed and they'll be encouraged. Or times you might get up and exhort and it is instructive. So with that in mind, and I hope you guys can see that pretty clearly in the scripture. With that in mind, I have an exhortation about exhortation. Next page over. I have a thing I call the spontaneity continuum. You guys know what a continuum is? It's kind of like a scale from one extreme to another. Okay? And on this scale, you see it here, on what would be the right side, it says more prepared and teaching is there. And on the left side, it's called more spontaneous and prophecy is there. You see that? So you have teaching, which is one of the gifts of Romans 12. You have prophecy, which is one of the gifts of Romans 12. And then you have this exhortation, which to me can float, because teaching at times includes exhortation, and prophecy at times includes exhortation. And so I have, you see exhortation there kind of sliding back and forth. Sometimes it's over toward the prophecy side, which to me is more spontaneous. Other times it's toward the teaching side, which is more prepared. Now, what I've noticed in our church of late, and I talked to some people about it, and I think we're making this switch, is sometimes when we're getting up, giving exhortations, we're kind of leaning toward the more prepared side. You know, we're coming, we're pulling out teachings, Bible, scriptures, all this. It's way over here. And I feel, or like what I would prefer, and I believe what's more accurate in terms of a true spiritual gift, like in a congregational setting, should lean more toward the spontaneous side. And that's what I'm really asking people, that if you're being used prophetically or in spiritual gifts in the congregation, like 1 Corinthians 14, we want people to get up and speak in such a way that if there's an unbeliever or an unlearned person and they're saying, God's here. Now, to me, there's something, I mean, we've heard testimonies here tonight from many people in different avenues of testimony, but you see how powerful it is when people are led by the Spirit of God. Even unknowingly, the Holy Spirit can do things in your life that touch and impact people in such a powerful way. And I really feel like the spiritual gifts lend themselves to that kind of event. Whether you're being used in a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophetic word or an exhortation, there's something about that that has the fingerprints of God on it that touch somebody, if not multiple people's lives. And that's, I would hate to see it happen that if the only thing we do when people come up front is to come up, I mean, and to just say a story, or hey, I heard this thing, or I read this on the internet, or I got this, you know what I mean? Those are all fine and good. I'm not putting that down, but I'm saying, let's really come and say, Lord, I want to be used by you in a way that touches the lives of these people here. Desire spiritual gifts, the Bible says, but rather that you may prophesy. Desire spiritual gifts that the church may receive edifying. So that's how I'm kind of positioning this idea that, yeah, exhortation can be very, I'll use the word didactic. I can get here, I'm exhorting you right now, but this is all prepared stuff. It's stuff I've thought about. It's stuff that's coming out of my heart and mind, and I hope it's urging you to some course of action in your life, but it's not spontaneous in one sense. And if you've ever been used by the Lord in a spontaneous manner, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like you come, you open your mouth, it's like the spigot is turned on, and you let it come forth, and when the spigot's done, you're done. Amen? And so I have this paragraph. Many times our exhortation pushes to the right side of this continuum, which in my mind falls more into the teaching and less into the prophetic posture. Again, exhortation happens either way. But in my view, if we're going to be having spiritual gifts, let's let them flow to the left side and pursue that course in our, as we're seeking the Lord to be used. You know, when you think about, is God speaking to you to be used in the congregation, we're all touched by many things. I mean, you can sit down on Saturday night and watch a movie, and it can move your heart, and you want to get up Sunday morning and say something, you know, about this movie. And I'm not saying you should never do that. You don't want to. Or, you know, something happened in your life, and sometimes God is speaking just to you. He gave you a moment, and it's for you. But those aren't necessarily spiritual gifts, because I can be motivated by something and be really excited about it, and it's not necessarily a prophetic word for a congregation, for a moment in time. And again, as I said before, it would be easy if we don't, you know, pursue this in excellence, it would be easy for us to almost, what's the word I want? Devolve, is that a word, devolve? Not evolve, but devolve into this place where all we're doing is getting up sharing little anecdotes or stories or a neat thing I read on the internet. And I don't want that. I want people to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and let it be thus saith the Lord, because I want to fall on my face and say, God is here. Don't you guys? And when that person comes in here on a Sunday morning, just like your friends, and they said, I'm hearing things that are telling me God's speaking to me. I love to hear that. And I don't know where that's, huh?
And I think it was that one morning that Bill Powell, you said no more words. And
oh.
It was just Abby spoke that word. And that's what hit Jessica, what hit her daughters. There wasn't so many words, but that one specific one that she came up with. And she's had a breakthrough ever since then.
So you just, just never know. You never know. And that, to me, that is just like the things we've talked about here tonight. You know, whether it's God gave you a vision of a broken piece, or God kept urging you that this man doesn't know Jesus, you know, and you kept pursuing that, and a guy came to know the Lord. I mean, these are all very simple ways that God speaks to us and uses it, but look how powerful it is in the end. And our prophetic ministry needs to be as powerful or more powerful. And I love the fact that our church has these spiritual gifts operating and that people are pursuing it. And I encourage you all to be this person who's seeking to be used in this way. But as we do, let's try to move it away from just the mental exercise or expressing of a neat thing that happened to thus saith the Lord. That's what's going to really impact. And again, I'm not saying that those other things don't have meaning and purpose. They do. And many times I'm touched by things that people say, but I really want, if we're going to call them spiritual gifts, I really want them to be these that kind of flow on that spontaneous side. And so in that paragraph, I said, I would like during the operation of spiritual gifts to see those who are used in exhortation to pursue more of that left-leaning, spontaneous, prophetic posture rather than the right-leaning, teaching posture. So what is a prophetic posture? Just for for definition's purpose, let me read a couple scriptures. There's an element of inspiration in it. In Jeremiah 20, verse 9, Jeremiah is saying, if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire. You see, that's inspiration. Something Jeremiah is saying, I don't want to prophesy anymore. And it came to where this thing was so burning in his heart, he couldn't help but prophesy. He says, I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. There's something like that that takes place. It's like God is stirring in you. And again, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, but you know I have something to say from the Spirit of God. And I want to humble myself and submit myself and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And when you stand and you speak and you open your mouth, it is going to be from the Lord. Like Jeremiah, something was burning in his heart. It's revelation. In 1 Corinthians 14:30, he's talking there, that if there are people prophesying and if something is revealed to somebody else, wait till the first holds his peace, then you speak. So by definition, prophecy is revelation. Revelation means something that is uncovered. I don't see it now, but all of a sudden it's revealed. And it kind of gives you the indication in this scripture that it's happening in the moment. It's not like something I saw on a TV show last night or heard on the Christian radio as I came to church this morning, or even that I read in my devotional last week. I had something revealed to me in the moment. I'm here, the Spirit of God is moving, and as I'm hearing this prophetic flow or river or whatever you want to call it, something that God is doing, then he reveals something. And the word revelation simply means to uncover. Like your eyes are covered and now you see something. And that's prophecy by default. There's a sense of bubbling up, similar to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In John 7, which I believe is speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I mean, there's this idea of rivers flowing. When you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, I know when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were in a worship service, and I was standing in the back of the church worshiping God, and all of a sudden, I'm speaking in tongues. It was like a river of living water. Prophecy oftentimes is like that. I'm not writing notes down about what God wants to say. I'm coming, and I'm like, here it comes, Lord. I'm opening my mouth, and it's like a river of living water. And the more that we can trust God for those moments, trust Him, because if He's calling you to prophesy, which is to speak forth, He'll give you the words to say. If we go up there and try to pen ahead of time or even plan ahead of time or be on the prepared side, it kind of leaves the Lord out of the equation to some degree. You know, and so he says here, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as the Spirit had not been given because he was not yet glorified. Now, when you read about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another by the same Spirit a word of knowledge, to another by the same Spirit a gift of faith. So the Holy Spirit is the one who gives these gifts to us. And it's not really anything to do with me as a person. And then finally, the content relies more on the Holy Spirit in the moment than on the thought process ahead of time. So, for example, Luke 12, when they bring you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, don't be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you should say. Prophecy is a lot like this. I mean, Jesus told his disciples, listen, you're going to be taken up in front of the court sometime. Don't worry about it. Don't think ahead of time, because in that moment, my Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. And the same thing will happen if God's calling you to prophesy. Don't worry about it. You'll be nervous. You'll be shaken. But that's because you're relying upon yourself. But in that moment, there will be this revelation. In that moment, you'll have that fire in your heart. In that moment, you'll have that river of living water. And you stand under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in faith. And you will be surprised that the Lord will give you words to say. That's what I mean by the prophetic posture. Pushing it toward the more spontaneous. Psalm 45:1, to the chief musician upon, this is some kind of strange instrument, Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah, Maskell, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Think about this for a minute. He says, my heart is indicting. That word in the Hebrew language is gushing. My heart is gushing a good thing, a good word. And he says, in a way, my tongue is like a pen. Now, how many of you know the pen does not write the story? Did you know that? Who's writing the story? The author. The pen is just the instrument. The tongue, he says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And what he's really saying here is God is teaching him. God is giving him things to say. This song that's coming out, this thing that's gushing out of him is from the Lord. I'm speaking of things touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And so in a way, when you stand and prophesy, that's what your tongue is becoming in that moment, a pen in the hand of God. You're writing something. You understand this analogy here. but your tongue becomes a pen, speaking and saying the things of our divine author, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, Jeremiah 1:9, the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And that's what prophecy really is. It is his words in my mouth for a moment. So does that mean we pump our brains out? No. I mean, there's times, you know, you might be sitting there and God's going to say to you, I want you to go up front to prophesy. And he might plant a word in your head or, you know, a thought, and you just go. So yeah, your brain's there. I'm not saying you pump it out, but then you just trust the Lord that I want to come up there and God, use me. Use me. Prepare your heart, pray, spend time praying in the Spirit, you know, seek him. The Bible talks about desiring spiritual gifts. This word desire is a word that means to be hot for something, like to be really hot for it. I want to be used. And it's not that you would be the person getting attention. It's you want to be used to edify the body of Christ. So do you understand the concept I'm sharing here tonight? And my hope is that our use of the gifts of the Spirit will flourish and they will become better. We will excel at it for the glory of Jesus and to touch the lives of the people that are there truly with words from the Lord. Amen? Okay.
Anybody need a sheet? Anybody want a copy? You want one, honey?
Tell me if I'm incorrect, Kirk. I think a legitimate question is, do I have a prophecy or an exhortation? Does anybody identify with that? Am I prophesying or am I exhorting? To me, I've never had to wrestle with that question. Somehow, the Lord just showed me. When I give a prophecy, the Lord strikes me so quick, so hot, so clear, is a word from him. And I have no reservation to say, thus saith the Lord. The Lord's wanting to tell you this. Other times the Lord comes and ministers to me during the church service, and I don't have the clarity or the conviction to say, this is what the Lord is telling me to tell you. But he is, in a more of a general way, giving me an exhortation. So I'll go up and say, this is an exhortation by the Spirit of God. And that'll be something you'll just have to ask the Lord to sort out in your own heart. That's the best I can answer. That's probably one of the questions I would think would be asked.